May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 6. God's ways are just, his counsels wise, no darkness can prevent his eyes, no thought can fly nor thing can move, unknown to him that sits above. Hymn number 6.
Let us read from the Word of God, firstly Psalm number 49, and also reading in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. The 49th Psalm. Hear this, all ye people, Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honour, abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their saying, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. And while he lived, he blessed his soul. Men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honour and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. Let's also read some verses in Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. Of course, after Pentecost and after also the apostles had healed that dear man. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Thus far we read, friends. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we venture to call upon thee now. Do give to us, Lord, each of us, a breath of real prayer. May we come together, Lord, to the footstool of mercy at the throne of grace. Thou knowest how we are, Lord. Thou art perfectly aware of our condition. Lord, we would come with confession, we're sinners. And in this, if we know it and feel it, Lord, we're in a common need here. As sinners gathered, we're all sinners here, Lord, gathered around thy word. And thou knowest who, by thy grace, has a exercise and a desire to worship thee. Oh, we do have much to be thankful for and to acknowledge, Lord, of thy great goodness to us. Oh, Lord, though it may be with some, they may be in a felt sense of darkness, or feeling thee far off or cast down. But Lord, whatever the condition, if thou hast begun in us, Lord, there is that we must ever acknowledge. Oh, how amazed it is, amazed we are, Lord, of this, that thou didst ever begin in us, that thou didst ever do that first work, Lord, as we trust we can acknowledge. And oh, we pray that each of our friends may be able to acknowledge it was not the will of man their soul's new heavenly birth began. Help the dear friends, Lord, to acknowledge it, looking back, remembering, give them sight, give them light. Oh, Lord, if they have darkness upon them, burst through the clouds, Lord. Son of righteousness, arise. Pierce the gloom of sin and grief. May it be, Lord, in this wise. One has been favoured many times when we've been laid low, when we've been through our own folly, through our own wanderings, in a state and condition of having lost thy presence, Lord, and feeling to be so cast down. Lord, when we're brought to really consider, oh, thou hast taken us back to that beginning. Oh, our beginning we trust, by thy grace. Help the dear friends in this way, Lord. May they be able to acknowledge that they're not where they once were. May they be able to acknowledge, Lord, the absolute impossibility of them making themselves exercised and concerned in a spiritual way. Oh, was the greatest impossibility, Lord, that we could ever do that. But thou didst by thy grace come. Oh, here we can we trust, acknowledge it is as the apostle so clearly acknowledged it, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh Lord, how humbled we are when we can really feel it and acknowledge Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. And oh, this is what we want to feel tonight, Lord. He to save my soul from danger, interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor. And oh, Lord, we know it's daily. But oh, to be constrained and to feel it, Lord. And to so be blessed to feel that sacredness, Lord, of faith in exercise. Faith in the bleeding lamb. Oh, Lord, we beg thee. Grant us tonight a favour in this way. Grant thy people, Lord, what they need. Suit thy blessing to each case. Grant thy favour, Lord, in attending to their cases. Do them good, Lord. It is our heart's desire of exercising, coming along to gather with our friends here, Lord, that there was do thy dear people good. Bless them, Lord. Favour them. Feed them, Lord. May there be food for their never-dying souls. May they have that favour to be partakers, even partakers of Christ. Thy dear Son, Lord, dear Holy Father, thou hast given thy dear Son. Thou hast raised him from the dead. Oh, Lord, thou hast so acknowledged thy people. Are accepted by thee and thy beloved Son, made accepted in the beloved. Oh, we pray that the dear friends may know their favour, their part in this great favour, Lord, of thy sovereign grace, sovereign love, sovereign mercy. Lord, oh, favour souls to know and taste redeeming love. Favour them here tonight, Lord. Oh, how we want to consider. Oh, and be blessed to know it, that the redemption of our souls is precious. Oh, we know it is precious to thee, Lord, according to thy electing love, according to thy covenant love, thy covenant appointments for thy people. Oh, Lord, it is so precious, so important. Oh, may we know it. May souls be favoured to know, have the seal of the Spirit, that such is thy love to them, everlasting love. Mine is an unchanging love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath, full and faithful, strong as death. Bless the friends, Lord. And now if we especially think of friends who have recently lost loved ones, and now if, Lord, how we think of them and pray for them, and try to pray for them every day, Lord, and carry them. Oh, then now if all our friends who we know and love in thy name, and each one who knowest who has so come into the grace and pathway of loss and loved ones taken. Oh, we bless thee, Lord, for the comfort of the favour, Lord, that some of thy people have where they have taken their dear ones home to glory. Oh, then now if we think of them, would remember them, do remember, Lord, thy servant who recently been sent into the ministry now, in the ministry for 2 years or so, we think, Lord, that, oh, Lord, now we've talked to his dear godly mother, and now she's home in glory. Oh, Lord, thou realise how we felt in talking to her, the privilege of talking to her and having conversation, good conversation with her, Lord. And oh, we thought of our own mother, Lord, and the favour and the things that she was feeling, and the exercise and the prayers to carry us, Lord, in the and for the ministry, Lord, and how that dear one of our dear friend has so been in the same path, but now home in heaven, we believe. Bless and help our dear friend. Oh, and Lord, each as we think of, there are, Lord, the mourners that go about the streets, even the streets of Zion. Oh, Lord, we pray that the comfort of thy love may bear them up, may surround them, may, oh, they may know it day by day. Oh, Lord, as these sheep are taken home from the, removed from the fold here on earth and taken home into the eternal weight of glory. Oh Lord, oh may we heed the warnings, Lord. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Oh, give us to know and be assured, Lord. May we feel it day by day, that thou art preparing us. We can never prepare ourselves. Oh, we need to know. All our sins are blotted out, put away forever. Lord, oh, as we cannot cease from sin, may we know it, Lord, that the favour of putting the hymn is so sweet, Lord, and we so much need to know it. Oh, that we may as oft as sin assails our soul, turn our eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal us, bring us peace and do us good. Oh, help the friends, they might never be by faith looking unto Jesus, the Son of God, he who has suffered, bled and died, risen triumphant o'er the grave, ascended up on high, and oh, has fulfilled the prophecy, surely is, he led captivity captive, he receives gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also. So bless thy people, they may see thee, thy living Lord in heaven by faith. They may know their prayers avail in heaven through the advocacy of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And oh, denial, thou art there, Lord, as our great high priest above. And oh, Lord, bless the friends that feel so much of the onslaught of Satan, the troubles of their wicked heart. Oh, Lord, thou art there, our great high priest above. His heart is made of tenderness, his bowels, mouth with love, touched with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. Lord, may we be so favoured to be looking to thee and coming to thee in prayer, bowing before thee at the footstool of mercy. Oh Lord, in the holy court of heaven, Lord, to know we are accepted by God our Father through the merits of his dear beloved Son, thy merits, Lord, thy sufferings, thy death, thy fulfilling the law, oh, thy complete and full sacrifice, thy obedience, O Lord. O thou art our all, and in all, bless the friends to feel him. So come tonight, Lord, and do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, this part of thy Zion, this garden of thy grace. And know thy love to them, and Oh, we look for thy appearing, we bless thee, Lord, for what thou hast done here. How thou hast had such a purpose of favour to witness and make witness of thy work, Lord. And oh, we pray that yet more it may be so. Witness here thy work, thy goings here among the sanctuary. Bless the friends as we were reading during the afternoon, Lord, in the previous psalm there. Bless the friends to walk about Zion and tell the towers thereof, and mark ye well her bulwarks, and consider her palaces. And may there be that to tell to the generation following. Oh, we pray for the young people, Lord. Oh, we believe thou art working in some of their hearts, and Lord, according to thy will, thou art working in them to will and to do of thy good pleasure, we believe. Oh, Lord, in due time it shall be manifest. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how much it is already. And Lord, we look for thy further favour toward them being made manifest. Bless them, Lord, bless them abundantly. Where there was naught to the birth and made them concerned as sinners. Oh, Lord, lead them on. Oh, what sweet theme it is. Oh, may they be able to say, you led me on with placid pace to Jesus as my hiding place. Oh, Lord, may they be seeking a hiding place. May they be seeking in earnest, and may they find thee, Lord. And those that are unconcerned still, and he's still in unregeneracy, Lord, we are very concerned for them, that they might be made concerned about their never-dying souls. They might not go on in unconcern, not go on just thinking they are all right, for none of us are all right. Oh, we ever go back to South of Chapel Yard when we were told that, and the power of the Spirit in the words, Lord, of thy dear servant, now home in glory. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. Oh, do show the dear young people that they are not all right. They need to be saved. They need salvation. They've got an ever-dying soul. They're going on toward a vast eternity, the judgment day, in eternity forever and ever. And as the tree falls, so it shall lie. As they go out of this life, so they will be to all eternity. Show them this, Lord. Make them know it, make them become concerned about it. Lord, we pray. Oh, do work, Lord. A burden for souls, thou knowest. Thou hast laid it heavy upon us. And oh, thou knowest in our own families and our loved ones. And oh, the solemn things, Lord, that we've had to witness, Lord, in our day, in our life, Lord, in our pathway. And oh, how thou didst speak in that way, as thy servant was given to speak in those separating words to us when we were received into the church at Stockholm. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And how we've seen this, Lord, and how we've needed thee to save us from all the treachery of Satan, all his craft, all his awful assaults, Lord. And Lord, we've seen it in our loved ones. Oh, the treachery of Satan. Oh, the ways, the dishonesty, Lord, that has appeared, Lord. And Lord, oh, we do pray thou wilt deal with those that are in such places, Lord. Oh, going on in their ways, Lord, deal with them. Oh, in mercy, deal with them. Hear us, Lord, then, for all our friends, the many friends we know and love, and the many little causes, Lord, up and down the land, we love them all. Thou knowest, Lord, we love them in desire and prayer for them. And Lord, that thou wilt bless and favour thy people, nor thy dear servants, Lord. Oh, thou knowest each one. They're on the walls of Zion tonight, we expect there are a number of them so. Lord, we think of the causes who do have Friday evening services, Lord, and somewhere we are called to preach, Lord, we think of them as they gather tonight. Lord, as we are approaching the Lord's Day, we pray do prepare us for it, Lord. Prepare the friends here, Lord. May they be coming up on the Lord's Day morning, hungry and thirsty. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. So, Lord, come now tonight. Hear our prayers for our country. Lord, we've heard today of the departing of one who's been very prominent in his life in the government, Lord, and in Westminster, Lord, thou knowest. And, Lord, also we've heard the death of one friend of our own family, Lord, and I knoweth, Lord, we gathered nearly getting awards a year ago for our 50th anniversary, and the dear lady was present there, but she's now in eternity. Thou knoweth regarding her soul. Oh, we pray, Lord, do prepare us each to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Hear us then, dear Lord, in heaven thy dwelling place, and oh, when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 765. And does thy heart for Jesus pine, and make its secret moan? He understands a sigh divine, and marks a secret groan. 765.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the psalm that we read. That is the psalm number 49, and two verses, particularly to name as the text, the 8th verse and the 15th verse. That is the 8th verse and the 15th verse. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Verse 15, that God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. There is a very solemn, awfully solemn depth in this psalm of the things stated by the psalmist, as he has so been led by the Spirit. In the first or earlier part of the psalm, it is speaking of the rich and those that are obviously unconcerned, and those who are very much taken up with the things of this life. And after the descriptive words for the words of the text, the 8th verse that we've named, it is clear. The word is directed to acknowledge those that are trusting in themselves and in riches and things of this life. And the psalmist says, after he has said in the 7th verse, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him. And then there's this statement of the 8th verse, which is put in brackets in this Bible, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. What a solemn thing it is. The fact is that the redemption, the needed redemption of the souls of all the world, is precious. It is. It's not going to be so. But it's so important. It's so solemn if they don't know it, if they don't have it, if they don't ever, by God's grace, come under this great favour. And so I believe in the first part of the psalm it is really most solemn warning. The redemption of the whole of humanity's soul is precious. Everyone needs to be redeemed. None can save themselves. Every one of humanity must go to hell, be in pain and torment forever, if not redeemed. That's, I believe, the line of the solemnity of what is in this early part of this psalm. Now, people can be religious. People can be professors of religion and go on and prosper in life, and religion, they have a religion which is nominal, and they may be diligent in it, and completely miss the mark and being concerned at all about their never dying souls. You know, I was saying, much love and desire that you might know, each of you, real solemn concern worked in you by the Holy Spirit, as before you, dear young people, and all of us, you could come to Swavesey Chapel all your life, and if grace doesn't save you, you'll be in hell. And so will I if grace hasn't saved me. You know, that's the solemn fact according to the fall of man. Sin has entered, and death by sin. And there's nothing at all of any good hope outside of Christ, outside of God's grace. We can never save ourselves. And there's an emphasis, I believe, here. We can never save ourselves. We can never redeem ourselves. We can't redeem our brother. We might have much wonderful natural love to brethren, brothers and sisters. We can't redeem them. We can't make them fit for heaven. We can't prepare them for eternity. And we can't prepare ourselves. This is the emphasis in this psalm. As we have it, see, then it says, for he seeth the wise men die, likewise the fool, the brutish person, perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is, their houses shall continue forever, their dwelling place to all generations. They call their lands by their own names. How these things. Nevertheless, man, being in honour, abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. This is the way of their folly. Their posterity approve their saying, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Then there's the change. How the psalmist has confidence, the confidence of faith, and he says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Now, where is he with us, friends, with each one of us that are gathered here tonight? We're in the place of the holy. This is the house of God. We're all here present before God. And, friends, have we come for some real important purpose to God's house? Are we spiritually minded? Are we saved from that natural state we are, or we're in where we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, dead in trespasses and sins? Are you a spiritual character by God's grace? Have you got real spiritual concern? Have you been brought to, by God's teaching, become concerned about your never-dying soul and about eternity and how you will be at the judgment day? Will God accept you and take you home to glory? Will you stand there? Will you stand there just in your own self and in your own feelings and your own strength and your own so felt righteousness? If you do, you'll be lost. The Lord will say, the Son of God, who the God the Father has put all in his hands. He's given all judgment in the hand of his Son, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He did come, and he has wonderfully come and saved the church in his life and death and through his glorious resurrection, and he's gone into heaven. He's there now, but he'll come again, and he'll come to judge the world in righteousness, and we shall stand before him. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And he will consign those away who he will say to them, like in the Gospels, as the Lord's own ministry stated, I'll say unto you, I never knew you. That is, if he's never known us, if God's never done anything in us, if we've never known anything of the work and teaching of the Spirit, that's what the Son of God will have to say to us. But if he has took us in hand, if he has been teaching us, if he's begun to teach you, some of you young people, I hope all of you, if he's begun to teach you, he'll make you concerned to pray, to know your need of salvation. Notice how we read in the Acts of the Apostles, dear Peter there led of the Holy Spirit in his exercise in the ministry after Pentecost, after they had been so given that by power to heal and are done in the power and enabling of God's wonderful power given them. They have been such wonderfully made witness of God's power and His saving power. Peter had preached, and he had preached repentance. He said, repent, how he had preached it, necessary to preach, not to offer salvation, but to preach repentance in the way that it must be preached. And then there they were being questioned about it by religious Pharisees. The Jews didn't want to receive, were troubled about this doctrine. After all those wonderful things of the witness of God's work in so many that believed at the day of Pentecost. And then we read there in that fourth chapter, but oh, how Peter, in great boldness, with the Holy Spirit's exercise in him and witness of the Spirit, he preaches the gospel again. And he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Now do we know that? Has God shown us that? Is he making some of you more and more to feel it and know it? Is he bringing you to the place where you have to say, give me, you have to cry, plead with God, give me Christ or else I die. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Well, that's this wonderful redemption, this wonderful saving power of God by the Holy Spirit's teaching, by the work and operation of the Spirit, Christ is made precious. And you will know that the redemption of your soul is precious. You see, it was the psalmist that was saying concerning all those out of the secret who were not exercised, he was saying the redemption of their soul is precious. And he also said it ceaseth forever. What does that mean? If it's not known here in time, if they're not brought into the favour of redemption by the sovereign love of Christ, it ceases forever. After the grave there can be no hope. No. Not in any way can there be any reconciliation after the grave. No. Must be known here in time. And here it is. Oh, the confidence of faith in the psalmist. The 15th verse. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Because he'd known something of it here. He'd known the Saviour's love. He's known the exercise of the Spirit. Now have we, are we by God's grace being led into this? Let me bring a point also to more emphasize, I trust in love, that you know you will be concerned about your never dying soul. You will know that this is the matters of your need, of your never-dying soul, are more important than anything else in your life. I believe God will teach you that. I believe he teaches every one of his people that. There are many things we must be concerned for, and it's right to have good ambition and purpose in life. We pray that the young people might have a useful purpose in life and follow a lawful and useful purpose. And I always think of what my father-in-law used to say to me, we do want to go through this life and not leave it a worse place for us being here. Oh, think of that, friends. If we go through this life and leave the world a worse place through us being here, then we are accountable for that as well. As well as being accountable for much, aren't we? But oh, friends, to consider this first, that the most important thing is the salvation of our never-dying souls, our salvation. Oh, to know an interest in God's great salvation. Oh, this wonderful salvation. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, the name of Jesus. I often think in my mind, pondering, thinking in sweet remembrance of my wife's uncle, the late J.S. Green, how he so often, I was so blessed under his ministry, and you know, how he so often brought it in this way, of words describing speaking of Christ, the dear Lord Jesus, the dear Lord Jesus. How many times he must have said, the dear Lord Jesus. And now, you young ones, this is what God will make him to you. And oh, as older ones, we can say, he's made the dear Lord, the Holy Spirit has made Christ very, very dear to us, very, very precious to us. I believe, you know, what you want to know is what the psalmist is able to say here. The psalmist is able to say with confidence of faith, after all those solemn things, points that he has had to make, he then, in this 15th verse, he says, that God will redeem my soul, notice my soul from the power of the grave, will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. You know, the power of the grave, really. The death that we're all in by nature. You know, the grave of unregeneracy. There is in the Word such scriptures that say, God will bring us up out of our, I will bring you up out of your graves. And especially the grave of unregeneracy. Now, God will bring those he's quickened up out of the grave of unregeneracy. They're born again, born of the Spirit, born from above. They now have a totally new outlook on life and understanding of life, the seriousness, the solemnity of life and death. The need of their soul is shown them. They need salvation. They're sinners, they're made to feel guilty, guilty and lost and undone and ruined in the fall. This makes them need salvation. The wonderful love and purpose of God in teaching those he set his love upon, he makes them feel their need of salvation. They need the Saviour. They begin to pray, Lord, save or I perish. They begin to pray like the publican did, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And oh, the reality of it, you see, they're brought up out of the grave of unregeneracy. They're made alive. They're now alive, and they are to live a life of faith. God's work in them is to so cause them to solemnly know their desert as sinners. They deserve all God's punishment. The law will be so applied and condemn them. They can't redeem themselves. They can't pay that debt. They are debtors to God. They can't pay the debt of the sin they owe. According to the reality of it, the mass of it, the mighty sum of the debt of their sins, as lawbreakers, they can't settle it. But God has purpose to redeem, to pay the price, to pay the price, and his purpose, his way is giving his dear son. Oh, and we know and believe the blood of Jesus Christ, God's son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is the way. This is the way of redemption. God's way. Redemption by price paid. The price, the holy heart's blood of Christ. Friends, do you believe? Do you believe that Christ has so come for you? Do you want to believe? Do you? Is this your only hope? Is this All your hope, there's no other way. You have no other hope. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, then every knee of these children of God, these that are born of the Spirit, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him. King of glory now, he's in heaven, he's at God's right hand. But oh, to have prayer, the real prayer of faith, to pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and to be seeking salvation, seeking to know our redemption, seeking to know the wonderful atonement of Christ is and was for us, and that he has taken our place at Calvary and suffered in our stead. For man, O miracle of grace, for man, the Saviour bled. Psalmist has confidence, you see. Now are you troubled about your unbelief? If you are an exercised soul, you will be troubled about your unbelief. You will want the Lord to give you faith. And if you have, I hope you have a little faith that God's given you, want more. You want to be able to fully believe, to know the favour of assurance of faith. You can't rest without assurance. And I believe this, friends, that as God makes us concerned about how we are, and you know, we so often sin and fall and grieve God, but also we are often in unbelief, and it's a besetting sin, the sin which does so easily beset us. And God will so work to make us concerned about it. And you know, our unbelief, I think we began in singing that hymn when I was with you last. If unbelief's that sin accursed, abhorred by God above, because of all the opposers worse, it fights against God's love. But you see, God's people, God's children, will become very concerned about this, very burdened about it. I believe it's God's sovereign purpose that they shall be very burdened about it. I believe it's God's sovereign will to so teach this and emphasize it more and more and make us feel it and make us concerned about it. You know, there's a wonderful proof. When we've got unbelief, we may be such that we fear we've got nothing to lay hold of now. Our hope is perished from the Lord, you may say. My hope is perished from the Lord. But you know, you must be alive, otherwise you couldn't be feeling it. You must be still spiritually alive, else you'd never be still feeling it. You'd never be concerned about it. Such is the deep, profound way of the Spirit, that God so works in these ways. His people are kept alive. He who first made us still keeps us alive. You know, he holds our soul in life. They are the wonderful parts and the wonderful truth that we should remember and need to still lay hold of as God helps us. He does hold our soul in life. When we've once been quickened, we possess a life that can never die, though it may appear that it is very low or low. We may be very, very much at a low state, but the Lord is still keeping us alive. And he's solemnly teaching us, he's warning us, he's making us feel alarm and warning about us. We are not to trust in ourselves, you know. We have this sentence, this is wonderful to me, how Paul the Apostle wrote, he says, we have this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in it, we should not trust in ourselves. We have this sentence of death in ourselves, and God does cause us to know it, friends, that we might not trust in ourselves. But oh, the favour of it is this, we are to be blessed to know and believe that he will redeem our soul from death. He will redeem. And of course, as I've said, you know, relating to the grave of unregeneracy, but you see, when we come down to the end of our lives, to the aeronautical of death, the swellings of Jordan, oh, it will be that wonderful sovereign love and mercy and wonderful redemption which Christ has so brought his people back with, that price paid, the atonement, the shedding of Christ's blood, the redeeming love of God to be known. And you know, that's the way over the River Jordan, through the River Jordan. Christ has tasted death for every man. He suffered, that means every one of God's people, suffered, bled and died, poured out his holy blood, made complete atonement. And all what we need is faith to believe it was for me. The Lord will give it. He does give it. Oh, he gives faith and raises faith. That little faith you may feel to have, God can raise it to a flame and favour you again to believe and lay hold of the hope in the gospel. Yes, wonderful it is. That God will. Oh, that the Lord would come tonight to some of you, dear ones, who are much concerned. Oh, is it like we've sung? Oh, friends, to according to God's favour in you and for you, may it be that as the exhortation in what we've sung, though much is made, take courage still and knock at mercy's door. A loving Saviour surely will relieve his praying poor. I may have told you before that some little time after I was set at gospel liberty, I got very, very low after some time, and I was under much the awful onslaught of Satan, and the conflict had begun, and the old prince of darkness was shooting his arrows, his gunshot from hell. We were suffering, and I was very cast down, very troubled. Went to chapel's prayer meeting at Stockport Hope. Mr. Hare, that's two generations back now, Mr. Hare was a deacon, and he gave out his hymn, and that was the hymn we've just sung. And does thy heart for Jesus pine? Are there souls here tonight? Your dear deacon has got a good exercise in that, in to bring that hymn if you're in such a place. Does thy heart for Jesus, you young souls, do you pine? You know what pining is. You see an animal that has perhaps lost its mother or whatever, and there's the pining. You know, you think of it, pining after Christ, because you need him so much. He's so precious to you. Does thy heart for Jesus pine? He's the good shepherd, isn't he? Oh, the lambs can pine for him. They will, by grace. They need him. And oh, how wonderful. What a wonderful favour it is. Wonderful favour to me that night. I had to say after the prayer meeting to Mr. Hare, you got right into my heart tonight, Mr. Hare, with giving out that hymn. It is such a reality in God's people. They need Jesus Christ. They pine for him. They must have him. He's so precious. He's so needful. Oh, Lord Jesus, needful. He is in every station. Jesus is. You need him. You need him so much. And God will teach you more and more. You need him more and more as you go on. You know, I believe there is degrees in this. Young souls, you feel you need him. The older ones do too. And as we go on, and especially as we have to fight with hell and sin by living faith, and the enemy is so fierce, we need our Lord more. We need to beg of him for help, for deliverance, for We have to beg for that grace that he had in the fall to resist the devil. Oh, here we need the Lord to be with us and give us grace and help us in the battle. But you know, we have this theme here, particularly in this psalm regarding the grave and death and eternity beyond the grave. And you know, oh Jesus Christ, the Saviour, the Son of God, elder brother of the church who was born for adversity and suffered in their room, place and stead. Under the holy wrath of God, he suffered the just for the unjust to bring his people to God. And oh, how he is so needful. How you need him so much. But you know, the hymn writer's got him right. He says, in death thou wilt most needful be. Oh, as the hymn writer is, as it were, praying to God, praying to Christ. In death thou wilt most needful be, when I yield up my soul to thee. What a favour if we can. We are favoured by grace to come to the end of our days and yield up our soul to him, trusting in him, believing in all what he has done, believing he can land us home, land ourselves with God. What he has done is the merit. There is no other merit. There is no other way. It's by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And oh, what favour then to be so blessed to be living, believing in Christ. You see, the psalmist, he was so favoured, wasn't he? You know, as many of the psalms written by David, and especially these psalms to the sons of Korah, they are deep and real in the experience and need the psalmist was in, but he also could show, and in these psalms he shows his wonderful favour he has by faith to so be living, believing his God, believing in his sure and certain hope of eternal life. And it is through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ has not come yet. They live by faith, looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the Messiah. And oh, is it with us tonight, my faith looks back to see the burdens. There it is bare when hanging on the accursed tree, and hope so guilt was there. It's the same faith, friends, same vital living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in God, faith in all God's wonderful salvation for his people, his wonderful purposes of love and mercy, to know and be found within the secret of the wonderful purposes of God's love and mercy, to know God's favoured us, brought us in, brought us, chosen us from the rest. Oh, we're among the highly favoured few, washed from sin in Jesus' blood. And oh, if you think of it, such were some of you. Oh, what bad sinners we are. What vile characters we are. Oh, God must make us know it, feel it more and more. But oh, to know what dear David quoted in prayer, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is the redemption, friends. This is the way of salvation, by redemption. Christ paid. You know, as we think of how in Old Testament days they were looking forward to this wonderful redemption, the full, complete satisfying of God's law by Christ and the full atonement made by Christ. They were looking forward to it. They knew, as God was teaching them, that all the blood of bulls and goats wasn't sufficient. It was only but type and shadow. It was, according to God's command, they must offer those sacrifices, but in a way to be using them as types and shadows of that good thing to come. And oh, I think of it in the ways it is so explained and And so the witness of it given, even with Boaz, redeeming and buying the field, and that way of purchase, and so then he to marry Ruth, and oh, think of it in the profound way of how it is a type, and oh, of the marriage of the church to Christ, and they are called to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Think of it. But there you see, it must involve redemption. Everything of salvation must involve redemption. Everything that is a type and shadow pointing toward it must involve redemption. Redemption by the price paid. And oh, how it speaks of the blood of Christ shed. The holy blood of Christ shed. Oh, payment. Payment for sin. For sin's not his own. He paid the price, fought the fight, gained the victory on sin and death and hell for his people. To believe it, friends, is what we need. Faith to believe it. The dear psalmist had the precious grace of faith. That's what we each need to pray for. We might have more faith. We might be able to believe. God to grant us the blessed seal of the Spirit. Favour us to believe. I could fully believe once. I felt the assurance of faith. God favoured me with it for 5 days. We had 5 days of sacred peace, but many days have passed since then. Many changes I have known. Some of you can testify how you have had. But you know, would God have once taught us to trust in his name, and thus far have brought us to put us to shame. It doesn't leave us any question, really. You know, God will not lose anyone of his elect, will he? None who the Saviour suffered, bled and died for shall ever be lost. Oh, they cannot. And the marks of that celestial seal can never be erased. They may be the favours of God's special grant to us years ago may be much clouded over, but it cannot be erased. You may fear it can. You may be so dark, so low, but you're begging, you're crying to God, and he's keeping you alive, and there's a time coming. Time is said to heal up thy woes. Season most sweet, most fit is love to disclose. We need the patience, friends. We need the graces of the Spirit. And he does give them. And we will be blessed to endure, to hold on our way. I feel a measure of confidence in this, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. It's very precious to me, friends, how the Lord so spoke to Abraham of old. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And dear Paul, the apostle, writing to the Hebrews, is so blessedly led by the Spirit to take up that truth. And he there in Hebrews, he said, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And oh, how blessed it is, so that thou mayest boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What can the devil do to you? Oh, you fear him much. He is an awful foe. And we've got that inside conflict, haven't we? Mighty enemies without, more mighty within, world and flesh and devil. But, oh, God's grace is far stronger than all the power of the adversary. God, through his dear Son, has conquered sin and death and hell. He's gained the victory. And that means over Satan, sin and death and hell. And all to know it was for me. To believe it. To believe the Lord, the God. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me, Selah. He shall receive me. Yes, this is one who so relies wholly, completely upon the mercy of God, God's salvation, God's grace, God's wonderful salvation by divine substitution. The Saviour bore all his people's sins in his own body on the tree. Payment God cannot twice demand. Once at my bleeding short his hand and then again at mine. No, he will redeem my soul. He has redeemed it. He will redeem it. So that when I stand before that great white throne, I shall stand there redeemed, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless, to stand before the throne. This is what the psalmist believes. I'm sure of it. This is what he's stating here. And to the purpose I believe God has recorded him, that many of his people, especially when they are low, cast down and troubled, to read these wonderful things and to have the blessed Spirit seal them, to us here tonight is my desire. Oh, the truth of it, the favour of it, to know it and believe it, to know we're in the secret of it. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. That is, all the graves, the power of the grave. You see, death's within me, all about me. But the remedy is without us. See it in the Saviour's blood. The power of the grave is something that it's an experience that is known more and more and repeatedly in the pathway, in the pilgrimage. The power of the grave of unregeneracy, and the power of the grave in the sense that sin ended and death by sin. And it's such a repeated reality continuing in God's people's experience. But to have this favour. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He actually has already done it. But to know it, have it applied to us, have it sealed to us, and to be so blessed to have the prospect, sure and certain, that it will be our favour at last to join in that everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Is it that the Lord is giving us to feel more and more weary of earth, ourselves and sin? You know, there comes a time in the pilgrim's experience when this is so. We're pilgrims and strangers. You know, that we might be like we sing on there, Lord, they're waiting. They seek him night and day. His aid they're supplicating in his appointed way. And to know signal blessings. Saviour has bestowed them on some of us. Taught me wisdom's lesson when I forsook his road, the road. The great favours of grace, of God's grace and favour to us. Let us not forget. Let us not neglect to praise him. Let us, as God's favour is felt, let us render praise. Let us honour him. Let us live under him. We should not trust in ourselves, but in the Lord our God. That's why we've got the sentence of death in ourselves. But to trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. God is a refuge for us, Selah. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. You see, the power of the grave is this. Ultimately, after death, the judgment. And as we go out of this life, so we shall be to all eternity. So we need to be saved. Saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, and to know this by redemption, by price paid, Jesus' precious blood shed for me. We were wavered, if I may say it like that. We felt the such love to friends, all the friends at Uffington, and our dear friend and sister Mary, having been taken home to glory. We felt we'd like to be present with them and show our love and respect, a great kindness to me. You know, we started by singing about the sacred holy blood, the fountain filled with blood. Oh, that wonderful voice that speaks in heaven, in heaven's high courts for good, Jesus' precious blood. Oh, the favour of it, if we're led into it, the wonderful blood of Christ that sweeps away our sins just like a flood, nor lets one guilty blemish stay. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood, the favour of it, friends, redemption, the blood, the price paid, holy blood of Christ. Oh, invaluable blood. That's our redemption. That's our only hope. May the Lord bless us each with it. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day, but feels unable to take Sunday school. And Mr. Pont is expected to preach next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him and in your best room, would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Remember one thing, oh may it sink deep, our shepherd and king cares much for his sheep. To trust him endeavour, the work is his own. He makes the believer and gives him his crown. 804.
Dear Lord, we do beg thou wilt bless the lambs as well as the older friends, O Lord. Show thy blessing to each case. Help us, Lord, to live to thy praise. Lead us on, lead us in the way everlasting. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.